My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week, we're getting ready for some family emotional devastation.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, everybody. We're talking about 51, which is an episode named after Walt's 51st birthday here. Written by Sam Catlin, directed by Rian Johnson, and it originally aired on August 5th of 2012.
Yeah, largely, as you mentioned, family drama. Kind of politics between Walt and Skyler, as they kind of, Skyler comes out of her shell a little bit to start doing chesses against Walt.
Yes.
During this. And it's setting up things for the big dramatic turn that is going to lose Walt, Jesse and Mike ultimately, in this kind of revival.
Yeah. Yeah. As he tries to get the, train started.
Yeah. Tries to, the train will not stop.
Nope.
And then, you know, Lydia is freaking out.
Yeah.
Lydia, who has no chill.
Nope.
It's one of the primary things about Lydia. Mm-hmm. And this is also going to drive her into increasingly dumb decisions as well.
Yeah. She ends the episode with Mike resolved to kill her.
Yes. which I forgot that scene and the train were in the same episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
that's a dense episode next episode.
Here. Yeah. A lot of crime jinx going on.
Yeah. And at least temporarily, we get a Skylar W in this one. She gets the kids out of the house.
She does.
She does not want that to be a part of the house. She gets a minor Pyrrhic victory here.
Yeah. And, you know, even though her standout scene in this is her saying, like, yeah, no, this is a holding pattern. This is a bad plan. But it's all that she has because of the position that Walt has left her in.
Yeah, great scene.
Yeah.
You got here in the notes, is this the kids being taken away, you know, kind of Walt's last stand here.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely freaks out a bunch at the end of this. I don't know, it feels like this is definitely an escalation here. Like, to me, as opposed to I wouldn't necessarily say a last stand. I think this is the first example of Walt being able to see anybody as his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
The same way he does the people he tries to outsmart.
Yeah.
The tone shift in that argument scene of him starting to, deconstruct Skyler the same way he might Jesse.
Yes.
Or something like this is, he's always manipulated and lied to her. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this feels intense. And that was kind of, I think that's the thing that drove that. Drove him to that.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about the idea, because there are any number of arguments to be had about when does Heisenberg take over, and this episode is full of a lot of kind of visual symbolism of that. He gets the
magical hats there a lot.
The magical hat that talks to him like a Green Goblin mask is there. He also loses the Aztec. He loses his calculator watch. Like, these last dorky vestiges are going away as he kind of gives in to ill-advised displays of wealth.
The Heisenbergedness of it all.
Yes. So there are any number of arguments to be made about that. But I'm just, thinking ahead, does he react to what happens at the end of the next episode with Dead Freight the same way if he still feels like he has any hope of having his family, right?
Yeah. Possibly. It's an interesting thought exercise to figure out when he loses it. It's a 1-2 punch between losing his family and then losing Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse getting off board, I think, is also a really huge blow.
Yes.
To him, which happens soon.
Mm-hmm.
We keep talking about that scene, that great Anna Gunn Skyler scene. She won an Emmy for it. The second time submitting, but her first win.
Yeah.
It's a real standout scene. She does great work.
Yeah. Through the whole episode, but especially that scene. Her finding her fight again is...
Yeah, before that episode, she's just kind of, I feel like we've had, she's been a real Balkan powder keg.
Yeah.
Largely just, being quiet and catatonic until this point.
The sick old man of Negro Arroyo Lane.
Yes, exactly. and up until the point where she actually opens up and speaks, she's just kind of escalating that, the kind of catatonic Skylar. You know, I'm not too impressed by that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine, you know, yeah. But it's just her being quiet and having that blow up and having her like get her voice is huge. Like, the contrast is huge.
Yes.
And then having this thing that is kind of the climax of her catatonia state actually being a move, you know, actually being a chess move. Like, she decided to start pushing back before she speaks about it.
Yeah.
Again, being kind of a in the game, but in like a, you know, and she mentioned not as good at the horrible game, you know, which is a good thing not to be good at.
Yeah.
So we do have to tank the cringiest scene in the history of the show.
Yeah, in the cold open. You mean the great commercial for the Stellantis line of products?
Yeah, it's grotesque. We got to build up to it, but I'm just saying, if you were watching the show and you're like, this is an excellent show, it's one of the best TV shows of all time, and somebody walks in and they only see you watching this scene, they will not believe you.
Nope.
And they'd be right not to believe you. Yeah. I don't know how this happened. Yeah, it fucking sucks. Yeah, we had to get there, though.
We do. Because Walt and Junior are at the car dealership with the mechanic. They're here to pick up the Aztec after its most recent crash, when Walt intentionally turned into traffic when Hank wanted to investigate the laundry. There's a lot of fun humor in this about just all the stuff that the Aztec has been through. You know, like, well, we didn't have to replace the windshield this time.
Yeah, it's a long suffering. It's the Job of Aztecs.
Yes.
The mechanic loves this car. Yes. He's like, you know, I did it aftermarket parts, kept it under Blue Book. There was, you know, this weird gunk under the car, you know, when you said you hit that deer, we managed to get that out and everything. And he's like, I love this car. This is a good, dependable car. You know, this will serve you forever.
The line that like makes Walt kind of look like he vomits up a little bile or belches up a little bile is, you know, people joke about it, but this is a good, solid, dependable car. You'll get another 200,000 miles out of it if you're lucky. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Walt, the new Walt, does not want a car that people will joke about. Right.
Well, and Walt also, on some level, here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like when Skylar mirrors that back to him later, it's not like he's an idiot and he didn't know that. You know, I think that part of the reason why it hurts him so much is it reminds him of something he knows. But mostly it's the hat. He looks in the car, he sees the Green Goblin hat. he left it in the car for some reason. The Green Goblin hat, he says, hey, put me on.
Yeah.
Be weirdo. and he puts on the hat and he sells the car to the mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, I just put all these parts into it. And he's like, you know, $100.
Yeah.
$50.
Yeah.
You know?
he's like, oh, let me go check the register for a car purchase.
Yeah. To go buy this car. You know, Junior is like, oh, that's, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You know? But then they go buy fancy cars.
Yes.
And then we get to the editing, that drives me nuts in this. It's kind of funny. I can understand people going to bat for this.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really funny, but it's also incredibly dated because of the dubstep, but also because of just the fan cam editing on it as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The quick shifts between the two cars. So basically, like, he goes and buys a car. Junior's like, that car's meh. And they come back with a Dodge Challenger and do a little rev off to dubstep in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I know people might get frustrated and think that, you know, oh, Joyless Gary, but I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is such a serious episode and so many cool dramatic things happen in this episode. Uh-huh. And we have this like dorky little fucking video commercial in the middle of it. I hate it.
Again, the show's sense for cars is very good. Not only do we get Junior getting the Dodge Challenger again, so it's the second one that he's had, unless that was a Charger and I forgot. Walt getting a Chrysler 300 here is very on point.
Yeah.
Know, like a luxury cruising car kind of thing, kind of associated with like rich old men, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grotesque.
Yes.
We get our opening thing here, and we have Lydia on a conference call with Germans, and she hates it. She's barely hanging in there. She looks down, and she notices she put on two different kinds of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Her shoes are mismatched. Mike calls her on her burner and says, you know, you have visitors. And she goes, oh, what, today? And he goes, in 30 seconds. This is a heads up. And it's the DEA.
Yeah.
It's Hank, Gomi, and the rest of the DEA.
Yeah.
They're on the case. They're sniffing.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a fall guy. Yeah. Planned. She takes him down to the warehouse and points out one of Mike's guys.
Yeah. Poor Ron.
Yep. Who is the guy at the medical warehouse, the methylamine guy.
Yeah.
And he just stares her down as she kind of hides cowardly behind some shelves.
It's like, we can see you.
Yeah. It's very, really great scene. She, you know, goes back to her office. She's still on the conference call. It's still going. Closes the blinds and screams into a pillow.
Yeah.
This is hell for Lydia.
Yes. And she calls Mike again to say, hey, things are not okay. Like, you know, you say that you're going to pay Ron and keep him from talking, but you didn't see the look that he gave me.
Yeah. Right? You know, and she's like, I can't do this myself. Ron was the guy who fixed security and the inventory, did the security cameras and stuff so they could steal the chemicals. And Mike says, I'll send a new guy, and hangs up.
Yes.
Mike's hatred for Lydia is great. Mike is like, you know how in a horror movie, like a dog knows somebody's possessed? if Mike hates somebody, you know they're fucking awful.
Yes.
You know, like if he just has a bad feeling about somebody from the start, like, yeah, that guy fucking sucks. You know?
Yeah. Mike's utter contempt for her is very on point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Skylar gets home. She can't park in her driveway because there are two luxury cars in it. And we cut to dinner where Walt and Jr. are arguing about which of their cars is better.
It's not just about horsepower. You have to factor in drag. Yeah. Wait, drag. The experience of the driver.
Yeah. You know, I can do donuts. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Maybe I'll teach you. I blew up that car and nothing happened.
No consequences.
Yeah. Saul took care of it. Mm-hmm. He's just having fun. There's a moment here where he, again, is desperately trying to enact normalcy to bring back to normalcy. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, I'll teach you to do donuts. And then looks at Skylar and goes, I'm kidding, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's going to joke and laugh like season one.
Mm-hmm.
With us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen.
So Walt and Skylar are getting ready for bed, you know, and she's been no-selling him the entire time. And Walt is, you know, talking to fill the air, right? Trying to justify the car, saying, oh, we'll say mine is a birthday present to myself. And with Junior, we'll just say, you know, oh, that's me being a big old softy, which has got a sting given, you know, Skylar had to be the one to make him get rid of the charger for the PT Cruiser. You know, and he also says, oh, you know, and besides, we didn't buy them. They're both leases.
Yeah, they fit your story, you know, and she doesn't respond to this. And so then he goes and takes $20,000 in cash and puts it in front of her. And is like, we can afford it now.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar did not realize he was back in it. You know, she's like, oh, you're back at it. He's like, yeah, you know, of course, we had to make up for that $600,000 we lost. Again, the Beneke money.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Yeah.
And this is what kind of begins bringing her out of her shell a little bit. Skylar says, hey, what do you think about boarding school? And I love the performance. She's trying to make it sound casual during this. Like, hey, well, I just had a crazy thought.
Yeah.
You know, we sent our kids away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if we went and got our blood tested? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah. And Walt at first reacts, you know, isn't realize what she's up to at first.
Yeah, he's thinking about it practically, right? Like, you know, he's only a year away from college. We're gonna uproot him from his friends, from Lewis,
yeah.
Skylar.
Yeah, we haven't seen Lewis in a long time.
Yeah, what happened to Lewis, Skylar? What'd you do to Lewis?
He's been sent to Belize, but that's in a webisode where Walt kills Lewis for getting too close to his son. But you know, where are we going to send our 8-month-old? The Peace Corps? You know, and Skylar keeps trying to push, but as they, you know, she doesn't have a backup for this. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Skylar says like a new environment might be good for them. And Walt says, you know, what's wrong with this environment? You know, she says nothing. And Walt at this point still thinks she's just upset over Ted and stuff. You know, and tries to comfort her. This is, you know, again, it's Walt pretending things are normal to try to make things normal, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think this is manipulative lizard behavior, him saying this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's weirdly kind of sweet. You know, like, I want us to look forward to things, you know, which is a really relatable sentiment when you are in constant crisis for a long time.
Yes.
You can't, you know, you start living 100% of the now derogatorily.
Mm-hmm.
And that being a thing that Walt desperately wants to be Gus Fring. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to not have that.
Yes.
Like, you know, things have been rough and everything, but I promise we have clear roads ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of looking forward to things, you know, my birthday's coming soon. Mm-hmm. I feel like a celebration would be good for everybody.
know? My birthday party, my birthday with my chocolate cake, please.
Yeah. You know, I think I'd like chocolate cake, you know, like I would like to celebrate because I had this victory.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, life is good, Skylar, you know, and pointed close up on his left hand, showing that he's wearing his wedding ring again.
Yeah. You know, just kind of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
It's breakfast the next day, and Skylar gives Walt his scrambled eggs and bacon, but Junior points out that she didn't put his age, you know, write out the number of his age in the bacon.
Yes.
So she walks over and does it. This is a big, I feel like, intuition fail on Junior.
Yeah.
Not understanding something's wrong, given that his mom doesn't talk anymore.
Yeah. It's been a few weeks since she said a word.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since she's talked to me or anything. It's... I don't know. He's young, but he's not that young.
Ah, little kids are self-involved, you know?
That is true.
Yeah. You know, but she goes over and does it kind of half-heartedly. There's not enough bacon to make a full-size one. And Junior says, oh, that's a pretty small one. And Skylar does something that could plausibly be like, you know, giving somebody shit. You know, she gets up and takes half of one of Junior's bacon slices and finishes the
she
one
with it.
She swaps
the bacons.
Oh, that's
She gives Junior the small bacon, and Junior's like, "Hey, that's not right." You know, and Walt's like, "No, this is good.
That's good. You know, sacrifices. Yeah,
yeah. This is it's my birthday." Yeah. We cut over to Hank at the office. He's looking at his investigation board. This is a fun thing to look at.
Yeah, it's got a lot of faces we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, like freeze frame the connections and everything. Mm-hmm. And realizes, like, listen, there's somebody between, you know, Eric Schuler and Ron. You know, there's somebody doing this, keeping people quiet because we just got Ron and he's not talking.
Yeah. Hank suggests, there's somebody between, it's got to be Lady Banjo Eyes between Schuler and Ron. I had never heard this expression to refer to somebody. It's very funny. Just the idea, Banjo's around and her eyes are just like kind of always wide open and surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Banjo Eyes. Okay. And Gomez says, hey, she's way too uptight. She's, put together, way too put together for this kind of life. And Hank, says, maybe she was wearing mismatched shoes. How together could she be?
Yeah,
which is big, very funny.
Sherlock Holmes stuff. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, we got to call everything into question. She hanged the toilet paper in an improper overhand fashion.
Exactly, which is also how I like to hang toilet paper. By the way, it's aesthetically more pleasing.
Huh.
Looking at it from the front, it makes a square as opposed to making like a weird square with a little like back dicky little flap. I don't know.
So the loose end goes over the front, or does the loose end go back by the wall?
Loose end for the front for me.
Yeah, loose end for the front. The backward way that they're referring to, I think, is the overhand.
Is the overhand?
Way. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are advantages to that way because if a cat claws a toilet paper that's that way, it won't leak.
Yeah.
Leak. I don't know what it won't unfurl.
Yeah.
It's something I thought a lot about because of that throwaway fucking Simpsons line.
Yes. Yeah. And then it became a meme, and then was it Thimbleweed Park included an option to change the graphic on the toilet paper in the gas station?
Very funny.
Yeah.
So a guy comes in we haven't seen before, the temporary ASAC here, and ask how things are going, Hank answers him. Yeah, we think this Mike Ehrmantraut guy is keeping all the low level guys from talking, and we got him under surveillance. But the blue meth is also coming back.
Yeah,
it might be old stock, but maybe it wasn't Heisenberg we found burned up in the lab. Maybe somebody is starting anew.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy asks for the room, gets Gomi out, and says, "Listen, you've done excellent work. You'd be a great fit for the new ASAC. Mm-hmm. The issue is, though, you'd have to reassign all your day-to-day.
Yeah.
You couldn't spend time with this. You'd have to spread your focus, on this." And that's a hard ask for Hank.
Yeah.
At this point, a little easier than it would have been in earlier seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. No. I mean, like, it's only been like a month, maybe two, since he got his groove back. Like, it was the Heisenberg case that got him to walk again. Right.
Yes. This is a big purpose to live for him.
Yes.
But he says, yes, considering my wife would murder me if I said no. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
We cut over to Walt asking Jesse if he can finish up for him from a cook. It's his birthday. He might have a party waiting for him.
Yeah.
And Jesse does it. Jesse, they're solid bros at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday. Of course I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so Walt drives home and checks his appearance in the car window. He wants to make sure he's not out of sorts, right? Mm-hmm. Expecting to walk in and find what he found on the pilot, you know, 1 year ago.
Yeah, the guy was one of Clapton's. That was
Gretchen's. Yeah.
Elliot's party. But yeah, those weird guys who were in that first episode.
Yeah. All those people who just evaporated.
Yeah. Well, there's no episodes.
Well, yeah.
They all got killed in prison.
But there's no party waiting for him. You know, the house is empty. The junior's just sitting on the couch, you know, mm-hmm. and he asks, so what's the plan? You know, Hank and Marie are coming over. We're having baked chicken and potatoes.
Yep. I got your chocolate cake.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously big baby disappointed in this.
Yes. Yeah.
We cut over to Marie driving Hank to Walt's place. And this is a funny scene.
Mm-hmm.
She's really weirded out because what she found out about the affair, and Hank goes, okay, what's going on? Like, he's been through this a bunch.
Yeah.
And she is like, you know, I made a promise not to tell. And Hank just waits. And then she says, involves infidelity. That's all I'm going to say. It's very funny because it's like, you know, conservation of detail.
Yeah.
On this.
Let's just say Lisa S. No, wait, that's too specific.
Exactly. L. Simpson. Yeah. You know, and Hank's like, oh, I knew it. You know, second cell phone, fugue state. And everything. Sorry, babe, I'm way ahead of you on this one. Walt had an affair probably with his principal who mm-hmm. died in the webisode. Yeah. And Marie says, oh, you're way ahead of me. Well, it wasn't Walt.
Yeah.
Exceedingly Lisa S. L. Simpson.
The look on Hank's face, like the grimace that he has is so funny. And like, amazing. You know, this is kind of played like, oh yeah, Marie gonna be talking. But also like, Walt had to know. Like, Walt definitely knew, but also, like, even if he didn't expect that this was going to happen, expecting somebody to keep a secret in a marriage is not a good play.
No, no, you get to tell your spouse stuff. It's a law. We cut to the kind of end of the party. The family's out back, sitting back after dinner. Junior and Hank are bonding over the car, and eventually Junior goes off to go drive.
Yeah,
he's gonna go for some drive.
He's gonna go look for Lewis.
He's gonna go on the Lewis hunt. Go find him cold in a ditch. He's gonna start digging in random spots in the desert, like a Legend of Zelda mini game to get a heart piece. And Walt justifies it. You know, oh, these new lease rates are mighty attractive.
And without Junior there to cut the awkwardness, the things just kind of grind to a halt. You know, Marie asks about the potatoes. How'd you get the lumps out? Oh, potato ricer?
Potato ricer. and Walt starts getting philosophical. Like, he still wants to have this kind of reflective, normal moment.
Yes.
You know, it was almost a year ago today that I got my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You know, it has been a wild year. Do you remember this? Do you remember, you know, the first night of chemo?
Mm-hmm.
You know, me laying on the floor because it was cooler and everything. And as this is happening, he's explaining it, Skylar gets up and starts walking towards the pool.
Yeah.
The camera is focused on Walt while this happens. We see her in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Walt is talking about Skylar helping him through that night, you know, at this, when the nature was entirely different, right? Showing how far things have degraded over the course of a single year, right?
Yeah.
And then she starts, you know, staring at the water. You know, Walt was like, you know, I was just asking her if all of this could be over. And then she starts walking into the pool fully clothed.
Yes. Beautifully shot,
mm-hmm.
you know, this whole thing. Hank tries to make light of it, you know, hey, pool party. But she doesn't respond.
Yes.
They tell her to get out until she eventually goes underwater and mm-hmm. just stays down. Walt eventually jumps in to pull her out, and it's right before the commercial cuts.
Uh-huh.
Great shot.
Yeah. Like him just emerging into the frame like a fucking shark.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
So Lydia's over at the loading dock trying to disable the security camera.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really funny with the circuit breaker.
Yeah, you know? Her not knowing how to work a circuit breaker.
Mm-hmm. Or which one it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I also like when the security camera goes down, it like bows its head like a video game. And that's how I think of security cameras, even though I don't think that's necessarily
And most of them don't move like that.
No, they're, like when you turn them off, they feel like they would just stay still. They wouldn't like go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. And most of them just have really wide lenses. Is the thing too? Yeah. Like the moving camera is a video game thing because of you gotta find a way to get around it, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And the person who comes for the chemical handoff is Jesse.
Yes.
Here. And Lydia is very suspicious of him. Like, who sent you? Who else? You know?
All right. Well, what's his last name? Huh?
Yeah. Just being Lydia.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, I just got off a flight and I have a 14-hour drive home.
Yeah.
You know, the sooner, and that's if I don't stop. Mm-hmm. Just give me the goddamn barrel. You know?
I've got 900 miles. It's a very, yeah. Do you realize how big Texas is, Lydia?
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah.
So Lydia, you know, points out the barrel they're going to take, gets a forklift, but as it's coming down, Lydia notices there's a tracker stuck to the bottom with putty.
Yeah. Points it out. I love Jesse's forklift skills.
Yeah. Give me a forklift.
Yeah. Just the fact that he has this like actual dependable, marketable skill.
I'm imagining him cruising around Alaska on a forklift, like just in his heyday after El Camino. Like, this is my daily carry. I drive this around town.
Yeah. Looking for stuff to lift.
Yeah.
So
we get our signature scene after this.
Yeah.
You know, back at the White House, Hank asked Walt if Skyler's ever done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, no, of course not. And Hank says, yeah, listen, I know that you've been having issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be, and you know, Walt kind of chagrins this a little bit and he's like, you know, I don't know everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would just maybe be good to have her talk to somebody, mm-hmm. you know, Marie's got a guy who she seems to like,
yeah.
You know, and Walt goes, yeah, that would be good. I'll get right on that. You know? Yeah. It's real good for her to explain to a therapist. This stuff.
Well, you know, which does underline like this, Skyler has nobody that she can talk to about this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The isolation is part of what's getting her.
Yes.
You know, Marie comes out and is like, oh, you know, she's going to get some rest. What was all this about? You mm-hmm. know? And she says, listen, you know, what if you had some space and some time to work through this stuff? What if we take the kids for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, as long as you need. And I love this scene as well, where Walt at first is like, well, you know, yeah, okay. Like again, not kind of in shock about this. And then realize you see the gears turning,
mm-hmm.
you know, he kind of figures it out partway through.
Yeah, his, you know, just his face kind of hardens there. And Hank and Marie are gone, and he walks into the bedroom, and Skylar's lying in her spot. Voila, the kids are...
Yeah, he figured out, I mean, yeah, we didn't draw the... For anybody who's doing this as a service, you've all watched the show.
Yeah.
He figures out that it was Skylar's idea.
Yeah, he figures it out, and, you know, Marie says, like, yeah, actually, this was her idea. He asked Marie whose idea was this, and, you know, and it was Skylar's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes back, you know, voila, the kids are out of this environment. And yeah. I know that you're awake. You know, he is here for this confrontation, right? Like, you know, she got a W, but he's not going to let her have that without paying for it, right?
Yeah. You know, and Walt says, listen, I understand you're upset, but the kids have never been safer than this. Like, I'm running things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to keep these things separate. You know, I promise you, Gus Fring is dead. He was the danger. It's all over now. And mm-hmm. she throws it back in his face. I thought you were the danger. You know, this is dangerous for both of us, for us and the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just, and it's not just you, like the children have to be kept away from me as well.
Yes.
Like I have blood on my hands mm-hmm. With this. I'm involved. Yeah. He goes to touch her and she pulls away.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, all of those episodes where it ended with him making an advance and her just being catatonic about this, she pulls away and stands up. You know, she is not going to, you know, not going to acquiesce, right?
Yep.
And this is where she starts getting her spirit in, saying, you know, I won't have my kids living in a house where dealing drugs and killing people and hurting people are just shrugged off as shit happens,
yes. right?
Which is what Walt is trying to get her to accept.
Yeah. You know, you did it for your family. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she says, you know, I swear to God, I won't have the kids back here. And this is where Walt Heisenberg's up.
Yes.
On the inside and starts talking to her like he would Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, or anyone else he's trying to run circles around.
What are you going to do to make it happen? Right.
Yeah. You know, oh, this is about power now. Mm-hmm. This is about power and planning. This is my arena.
Yeah.
You know, what is your plan? And this is some of the cruelest he's ever been.
Yeah.
Like this has a cruelty, a non-retributive cruelty, like it's because the kids got taken away.
Yeah.
He knows they're not dead or anything. Comparing this to, you know, I watched Jane die.
Mm-hmm.
and how kind of broken he is when he does that bit of cruelty.
Yeah.
Like, that is certainly cruel and emotionally violent, but he just lost his brother-in-law, mm-hmm. you know, and being betrayed by a surrogate son, how he yeah. feels about it. Mm-hmm. This is really cruel.
Yes.
Like, you try to come up with things, and I'm just going to give you notes and pick them apart because I'm mm-hmm. smarter than you yeah. and I'm better at this than you are.
Yeah. I am going to show that you are encircled. Every single thing that you can think of as a next move, you know, just okay, well, that's dumb. What do you got? You know, asking all of this other, you know, stuff and poking holes in it. And while he's doing this, like, the blocking in this is really good. Like, there's yeah. action in this scene because he's chasing Skylar around the room. You know, not yeah. like, you know, gonna get you kind of thing.
Yeah, not like Tom and Jerry.
Right.
But it's weird. They go in one door, come in another one. But no, it's he's not letting her escape eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look, face me,
mm-hmm.
you know. She's like, okay, well, maybe next time I hurt myself. He's like, okay, yeah. well, maybe then I have you committed. And then it's just me and the kids.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, how about I give myself bruises around my neck?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say that you beat me when you found out about my lover. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, it's going to be real fun to bring the police in and involve Ted, but not as fun as telling your son that his father's a wife beater.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't do that either. Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Yeah.
You know, and he just keeps bringing her down. Like, also not a good plan. What do you have? You know, she's like, oh, I'm going to send, you know, Junior to school. And while it keeps tearing this apart, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and just throwing her words back in her face. How are you going to save our kids from this terrible environment?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, she starts crying. You know, she says, you know, I don't know what the plan is. I'm going to count every minute the kids are away from you as a victory. And cops saying, like, yeah, Walt, you know, you are, you know, encircling me here. It's a bad plan, but I don't have any options. I don't have your magic and I'm a coward. I'm stuck.
Yeah. Like, I can't keep you out of this house. I can't even keep you out of my bed. You know, all I can do is wait, hold on, buy my time and wait.
Yeah.
And Walt wasn't expecting this. You know, again, he's not an idiot. He knows this, but he's the way, you know, to live, you have to not know that you're going to die imminently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is, you know, it is impossible to do. So it's not like he's thinking about cancer coming back. He's right. like, I'm just getting started. And he, you know, what are you waiting for? You know, and then she says, for the cancer to come back, and legitimate mm-hmm. shock, you
yes.
know, on his face.
You know, here. to have somebody who you were making all of these moves to establish a new normalcy in life with.
Well, and somebody you love,
well,
right?
Yes.
Like, there's, you
yeah.
know, he's Monster Man at this point.
Yes.
But, like, that's still a thing.
Yeah, yeah. But just, you know, he thought that this was just temporary. But to find out that somebody that he loves is basically saying, I wish you were dead and I hope it happens soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough stuff to hear.
Yes.
You know, not to be not sympathetic to Walt, just saying that is a tough thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and who knows how that influences the choices he makes from here on in. Like,
right.
there's a pattern in the show of Walt being pushed into a corner or being undignified and then lashing out
mm-hmm.
and doing something extreme.
Yeah. And you know? Unlike the previous times, we're going to see over the next, you know, over the course of things here, this is going to sever and hurt his relationship with Junior. This is what
yes.
makes Junior, you know, go back to being called Flynn, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is, you know, not just Skylar who's going to get the blame for this.
Yeah.
It is a significant fracture. And, you know, we get, you know, the Heart of Darkness moment. You know, the next morning he's in the bathroom shaving his head, and it's literally just the shot from Apocalypse Now, you know, of the back of his head, or like kind of yep. like rising up, you know, kind of covered in shaving cream. You know, he's full Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah, he cuts it. There's a little rivulet of blood
mm-hmm.
Through there, and then he puts a tiny Band-Aid on it, which is cute. He's eating cereal. He gets a call from Jesse, and we cut to meeting at Mike at the exterminator's office. And Jesse is freaking out.
Yes.
About this barrel. He came back with the barrel to talk about the tracking thing, or didn't take the barrel, but mm-hmm. came back to talk about it.
Yeah.
And Mike is a professional, is asking him to cool down.
I like, you know, Mike sitting there in his old man glasses.
Just I love, like, when come on, Mike kid. Wears glasses.
You're giving me, yeah. you're going to give me a heart attack. Come on.
Yeah. Chill out. And he looks at it, he's like, you know, this is ridiculous. Like, why would the tracker be on the outside instead of the inside where we couldn't see it?
Uh-huh.
That's sloppy even for police.
Yeah.
And he starts putting it together. This is, you know, the same thing that Walt does when he's putting together that Skylar came up with that plan.
Yeah.
He, you know, you see the gears turning. He goes, oh, who saw this first?
mm-hmm.
you know, and just goes, it was Lydia who saw it first. And he's, you know, I love this. You know, oh, okay, she's dead. And just stands and
he,
up.
He stands up and goes to move and kill a woman.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesse doesn't, you know, doesn't want her to die, doesn't want people to die, tries talking Mike out of dealing with her, you know, and, you know, he doesn't have the history with Lydia, doesn't know that Mike already gave her a pass, you know, and so he serves me right for being sexist, right?
Yeah, I love it. Like, it is a great line. And, you know, Mike says, you know, Jesse brings up the methylamine and Mike says, we will slow down if we have to. Like, it's better to work against a lunatic who's going to get us all killed or put in jail.
Uh-huh.
And Jesse says, no, she just seems uptight. And I love it. You know, now you're being sexist. You know, trust me, this woman deserves to die as much as any man I've ever met. You know, I always like gender equality in my villains.
Yes.
Give me an absolutely hateable man and an absolutely hateable woman, please.
Yes, please. You know, and also Mike's right, you know, this was him being soft because he had different expectations for how shitty a person could be based on their gender.
Lydia is the worst.
The terrible.
You know, literally, like, almost uses her kid as a shield.
Yes.
You know, during that scene. Jesse says, oh, we have to put this to a vote. You know, this has to be a vote thing. And asks Walt. And Walt is saying they're considering his Green Goblin mask. Just with his hat in his lap being like, how could I be evil?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, nothing stops this train. Nothing. Like, the methylamine does not stop.
Yes.
And he, we don't see it here. He comes up with a plan. During this, we're going to see next episode.
Yeah.
We cut to him out in the parking lot and Jesse running out saying, like, listen, that was a good plan. Listen, I got you this watch for your birthday.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's a very well chosen watch, specifically for somebody of like Walt's generation. It is a specific watch that was made famous by Steve McQueen in the movie Le Mans, right?
Yes. So Steve McQueen died of lung cancer as well.
Yep.
So Walt gets home and Skyler's just smoking on the couch. He dropped by to see the kids. He's like, you know, they're asking questions, Junior especially. This will be okay for a couple of days. We're going to run out of things to tell them. You know, right now they're watching Ratatouille.
The way that he subdivides Ratatouille.
Yeah, Ratatouille. big smile. Skyler doesn't respond. He says, hey, are you coming to bed? And she lights up another cigarette to say no. And he gets halfway down the hall and stops and turns back. And shows her the watch that she got.
You know, see that watch? It's a birthday present. The person who gave me this present wanted me dead, too. Not that long ago, he pointed a gun right between my eyes and threatened to kill me. He changed his mind about me, Skyler. So will you. He doesn't say, oh, that was 10 feet away.
No, but it does the opposite of what he wants. Yeah. Like, just being like, this person put a gun to my head. Like, that isn't reassuring at all. Yeah, but also just like a horrible thing to say, really overconfident in his persuasion. Yes. Abilities and everything, and just, you know, hubris Walt in full effect. He goes to bed, he puts the watch on the nightstand on Leaves of Grass, and we see it ticking away with really loud ticks, implying, for the people who are Junior symbolism experts, time's running out.
A little ham-handed in retrospect. It's sitting on top of the thing that is going to seal his fate, right?
Yeah, a little ham-handed. Also, apparently, when Skyler smokes, like, the smoke forms an X over Walt's face or something.
Yeah.
I close the wiki window in disgust. just like, fuck that. I like Rian Johnson, but that's irritating.
Yeah.
If true. But yeah, great episode. Really good Skyler highlight episode. Kind of the last big Skyler highlight episode.
Yeah.
Like, she does good work in later episodes as well, but this is the last time where she's the star.
Yes.
Of it. You know, and that kind of indicative of us wrapping up, we're giving people, kind of their big hurrah, you know, she was going to get that, that Emmy. This was going to be the one that does it.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's great. I like seeing her get this. I also, you know, see this, upsetting the Skyler White as a bitch family court crowd, you know, like everything would have been fine if she just turned her head and accepted her murderer husband, you know, the protagonist of reality, my stand-in.
Yeah, real stupid.
Yeah,
like, people were real dumb about Skyler.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're wrong. She's good. I feel like she is right, and the performance is very good.
If you like the show, listen to our other shows, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Give us some dollars. $5 a month gives you a bunch of stuff. Leave us ratings, reviews, share episodes, tell people about it. All those things.
Please. Yeah. And also join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also composed our theme music.
Yeah. Thank you, Gwen. Huh? Yeah. And until next time, stop trains.
Yeah.
If they never stop, that's horrible for the drivers.
That's how you get a Snowpiercer, Gary.
That's exactly how you get a Snowpiercer. And that's, nobody wants that. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. But no, you don't want to live it, you know?